Hello, now we are focusing on major issues in healthcare organization affecting total quality in quality management in healthcare. Before going to this topic, let us understand the healthcare situation in India. Healthcare structure in the country is overburdened by increasing population. We all know India is a heavily populated country, and healthcare structure is overburdened. India faces the twin epidemic of continuing and emerging infectious diseases as well as chronic degenerative diseases. Economic deprivation in a large segment of population results in poor access to the healthcare. Poor educational status leads to non-utilization of the scanty health services and increase in the avoidable risk factors. So actually, India is facing the twin epidemic of continuing and emerging infectious diseases. So that is there. There are a lot of infectious diseases which are there in India. And above all, economic deprivation is always there. That is one of the areas for the concern in India. Economic deprivation leads or is because of the poor educational status actually, and that is why there is a scanty health services. India faces a high burden of disease because of lack of environmental sanitation and safe drinking water, undernutrition, poor living conditions and limited access to preventive and curative health services. This situation might be improving today because of lot of new activities from the government, especially focusing on the rural health area. But yes, it is not complete. Still, there are lot of things to be worked, and providing because of this, empowerment or impoverished situation in India, that is why there is a high burden of disease. Expenditure on health by the government continues to be low. It is not viewed as an investment but rather as a dead loss. States under financial constraints cut expenditure on health. See, what happens is there are certain situations because there were sometimes, maybe in the previous governments, yes, this condition was there, but today I think again, as I mentioned, things are changing, but still there are some rooms for improvement for the current government as well when they want to expand on the health issues in a better manner. India has only 48 doctors per 100,000 persons, which is a matter of concern actually, which is actually very few than the developed nations. So this is one of the areas where, that is why medical knowledge and medical education is very, very important. And there is a wide urban-rural gap in the availability of medical services. So that is a urban-rural gap is there, in the availability of medical services. There are poor facilities even in the large government institutions compared to the corporate hospitals. So actually the facilities are very poor in the large government institutions. Lack of funds, poor management, political and bureaucratic interference, lack of the leadership in the medical community. So these are the facilities, problems which are there in the large government institutions. Increasing cost of curative medical services. Obviously, medical services are very increased high cost. High tech curative services, which are not free even in the government hospitals. Limited health benefits to employees. Health insurance is expensive. Curative health services are not accessible to rural populations. And this is a very important part, because in the villages, it's very, very difficult to have curative health services to all the villages. concerns regarding ethics, medical negligence. We all see in the newspapers that all these problems occur, right? Commercialization of medicines are there, incompetence, yes, lack of a healthy doctor-patient relationship, and all these things are actually affecting a lot of doctor-patient relationship, and there is a marked shortage of the trained nurses. So obviously, you know, all these things, all these problems are today at a very high level. Now, what are some of the major issues to be addressed? Low staffing levels? Yes. In most of the hospitals, we find nurse to patient ratio is quite low. And you can see that because even the doctor to patient ratio is also low, so nurse to patient ratio is also low. Hospital nurse staffing is a matter of major concern because the effects that can have patient safety and quality of care. We all know that Florence Nightingale was there, right? And she was giving a lot of nursing care. But even here, the hospital nurses today are also very less in India. Some adverse patient outcomes potentially are sensitive to nursing care are leading. So, adverse patient outcomes are actually related to the potential sensitive to nursing care. So, these are the problems. And all these low staffing levels can lead to urinary tract infection, pneumonia, shock, upper gastrointestinal bleeding, longer hospital stays, failure to rescue, and 30-day mortality. So, 1 month, 30-day mortality, you know, complications increasing over a month are problems. So, if the nursing is bad, all these problems will occur. Means the incidence of all these diseases are more. We can see the ideal staffing levels, you know, some of the ideal ratios of the registered nurses, the patients are, we can see there. Intensive critical care, 1:2. Operating room, 1:1. Post anesthesia recovery, 1:2. So, these are all ideal, ideal nurse to patient ratios. Labor and delivery, 1:2. Pediatrics, 1:4. Emergency room, 1:4. ICU patients in the emergency room, 1:2. Trauma patients in the emergency room, 1:1. Medical surgical, 1:5. Other specialty cares, 1:4. And psychiatrist, 1:6. So, if you can see, these are the ideal staffing levels. Okay. So, we have seen what were the problems of the nurses, what are the ideal staffing levels. Now, we can see poor hygiene. In almost all the hospitals, biological mishaps such as hospital acquired infection and HIV, that is AIDS infection, do occur. So, it is a must to look into the true cause of these mishaps. The first and the foremost parameter is poor hospital hygiene. And that is correct because poor hospital hygiene will reflect a very less immunity, you know, decrease in the immunity of the patients, and hospital acquired infection and HIV infection will be the first things the patient will get. Poor hygiene, objectives of poor good hospital hygiene are to decrease microbial load in the hospital. You have to decrease the microbial load in the hospital to prevent growth and multiplication of the microbes in the environment, to protect patients from hospital acquired infection, and to increase the resistance of the visitors. Obviously, if you are decreasing the microbial load and preventing the growth of multiplication of the microbes in the environment, you are automatically reducing the hospital based infections and you are automatically increasing the resistance of the visitors. Main factors to be ensured to guarantee good hospital hygiene: housekeeping and cleaning, absolutely, because housekeeping and cleaning are the important parts of giving the important sources of infection to the hospital based, you know, the situations, hospital based infections. Cleaning removes 90% of microorganisms. Standardized cleaning or cleaning by automated means help to maintain adequate level of cleanliness. Cleaning of operation theater has to be done twice daily and also additionally between two operations. So, these are the protocols that you have to, a hospital should be following. ICU has to also be cleaned daily twice. Cleaning has to be ensured with 2% phenol or 1% sodium hypochlorite solution. this percentage of phenol or sodium hypochlorite has to be ensured, because generally the cleaning staff do not ensure all these things. Rooms and corridors should be cleaned daily once. Toilet seats must be cleaned daily once. See, these are all the cleanliness parameters that we have to follow. Because if you follow all these things, day in, day out, infections are curbed, especially the hospital infections. Cleaning of mops, use disposable mops in operation theatre and ICU. Of course, because using the same mop again and again harbors infection. Mops used in wards and other areas should be washed in detergent water and should be dried in the sun. See, there is a difference between the mops in the operation theatre and the mops in the wards and other areas. Operation theatres and ICUs are most important source of infection. That is why you have to use disposable mops. If heavy contamination is there, mops should be immersed in 2% phenol overnight after washing, rinsed, dried and then used. So, depending on the infection, the cleaning of the mop is divided. Mops used in toilets should be immersed in the solution of 2% carbolic acid, 5% Lysol or 1% hypochlorite solution, then to be rinsed in water and to be kept inverted and dried. See, there are different procedures and disinfectants being used for cleaning of the mops at different places, because the organisms will be there, and depending on the organisms, the cleaning is defined. Laundry is responsible for collection, segregation, disinfection and washing of linens of the patients and staff. Bedding. Blanket has to be changed every week or whenever soiled, and also on the discharge of the patient. See, there are many bedsores patients, so they will always soil the bedding and blankets. This has to be changed. Bed cover has to be changed every week or whenever soiled. Bed sheet has to be changed every alternate day or whenever soiled. Bed frame has to be cleaned with detergent and water after discharge of every patient. See, not only linen. When we consider bedding, you know, a lot of things are there. Linen is, blanket is there, bed cover is there, bed sheet is there, the frame is there. So, everything should be clean. Mattress to be covered with water impermeable cover, which is very, very important. To be washed with detergent and water during the bed making. If contaminated, it should be wiped with 2% phenol, 5% Savlon or 1% hypochlorite solution after the detergent wash. If heavily contaminated, it should be fumigated or discarded. Again, it's very, very important to note all these important points, because following this process every day, every time, with every people in every beds, in every wards, gives you quality. Management of biomedical waste, that is BMW. See, biomedical waste means any waste generated during diagnosis, treatment or immunization of human beings or animals. Management of healthcare waste is an integral part of infection control and hygiene programs in healthcare settings. And that is absolutely correct, because there is a biomedical waste which is generated and we have to manage it. Wastes targeted for precautions during handling and disposal include sharps, that is the needles of scalpel blades, pointed things, microbiological cultures and blood samples, which are all the pathological waste, maybe anatomical body parts, microbiological cultures and blood samples, especially during surgery you get all these things, and infectious wastes like items contaminated with body fluids and discharges such as dressing, catheters and IV lines. Other wastes generated in healthcare settings include radioactive wastes, mercury containing instruments and polyvinyl chloride, that is PVC plastics. So, these are all the different types of biomedical wastes. Okay, what are the effects of biomedical waste? Improper management in biomedical waste causes stern environmental problems that causes air, water and land pollution, The pollutants that cause damage can be classified into biological, chemical and radioactive. Like for example, indoor air pollution, outdoor air pollution, radioactive emission, water pollution, radioactive effluent, land pollution. So these are all the effects of biomedical waste. Okay, now we would see the treatment and the disposal of biomedical waste. So there are three columns. We see category 1, 2, source of waste. So we have category, source of waste and treatment and disposal. So category 1, the source of waste would be human anatomical waste, human tissues, organs, body parts, etc. How is the treatment and disposal of this biomedical waste? Incineration, deep burial. Category 2, we have animal waste like animal tissues, organs, body parts, carcasses, bleeding parts, fluid, blood and experimental animals used in the research, when waste generated by veterinary hospitals, obviously, when your animals are treated, veterinaries, animal hospitals, colleges, discharge from the hospitals, animal houses, slaughterhouses, etc. What is the treatment? Incineration and burial. Category 3 of the biomedical waste, source of the waste, now is a huge list. Microbiology and biotechnology waste, that is waste from the laboratory cultures, stocks or specimens of microorganisms, live or attenuated vaccines, human and animal cell culture used in research and industrial laboratories, waste from production of biological toxins, dishes and devices used for transfer of cultures. Treatment and disposal, local autoclaving, microwaving, incineration, etc. So these are, you know, various treatment and disposals of biomedical waste. Go to category 4, waste sharps like needles, syringes, scalpels, blades used in all the OTs, operation theatres, glass, etc. that may cause puncture and unused sharps. How we are going to treatment and disposal? Disinfection, that is chemical treatment, autoclaving, microwaving, etc. Category 5, discarded medicines and cytotoxic drugs like, especially from, you know, cancer drugs like waste comprising of outdated, contaminated and discarded medicines. So, out of expiry medicines, you know, all those medicines. How are you going to dispose of? Incineration, destruction and drug disposable in landfills. So, these are the various ways of biomedical waste destruction. Now, we come to hospital acquired infection, HAI. What are hospital based or hospital acquired infections? Those infections caught with while hospitalized. So, patient is hospitalized for something else and he develops something else. The medical term for a hospital acquired infection is nosocomial. Nosocomial infections can be serious and difficult to treat. A nosocomial infection is contracted because of an infection or a toxin which exists in a certain location, such as hospital. Most nosocomial infections due to bacteria, since antibiotics frequently are used within the hospitals, types of bacteria and their resistance to antibiotics is different than the bacteria outside the hospital. Typically, you can have, you know, resistance understanding of this bacteria. We can prepare from the lab, we can get a resistance on which bacteria, which antibiotics are resistant to which bacteria within the hospital. You can get a swab done, you know, culture done, antibiotic culture. You understand which antibiotics are resistant. So, you are not going to use that antibiotics in that hospital. Maybe. People use nosocomial infections interchangeably with the terms healthcare associated infections and hospital acquired infections. A nosocomial infection is strictly and specifically an infection not present prior to admittance to the hospital, but generally occurring 48 hours after the admittance. For HAI, the infection must not be present before, someone has been under medical care. That is very, very important. So hospital acquired infection, as the name suggests, should be acquired within the hospital. So after the patient is admitted, 48 hours after the admission, that is the hospital acquired infection.